From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message called The Altar at Ebal, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Job chapter 8, verse 11. Can the rush grow up without mire? The rush is spongy and hollow, and even so is a hypocrite. There is no substance or stability in him. It is shaken to and fro in every wind, just as formalists yield to every influence. For this reason the rush is not broken by the tempest, neither are hypocrites troubled with persecution. I would not willingly be a deceiver or be deceived. Perhaps the text for this day may help me try myself whether I be a hypocrite or no. The rush by nature lives in water and owes its very existence to the mire and moisture wherein it has taken root. Let the mire become dry, and the rush withers very quickly. Its greenness is absolutely dependent upon circumstances. A present abundance of water makes it flourish, and a drought destroys it at once. Is this my case? Do I only serve God when I am in good company, or when religion is profitable and respectable? Do I love the Lord only when temporal comforts are received from His hands? If so, I am a base hypocrite, and like the withering rush, I shall perish when death deprives me of outward joys. But can I honestly assert that when bodily comforts have been few, and my surroundings have been rather adverse to grace than at all helpful to it, I have still held fast my integrity? Then have I hope that there is genuine vital godliness in me. The rush cannot grow without mire. But the plants of the Lord's right hand planting can and do flourish even in the year of drought. A godly man often grows best when his worldly circumstances decay. He who follows Christ for his bag is a Judas. They who follow for loaves and fishes are children of the devil. But they who attend him out of love to himself are his own beloved ones. Lord, let me find my life in thee, and not in the mire of this world's favor or gain. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you've written to say that the Lord has blessed you or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for your taking the time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by phone, by email, or by regular postal mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish to write, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, if you enjoy this program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week. Text for this message is found in Joshua chapter 8, verses 30 and 32. By building an altar to God on Mount Ebal, Joshua was fulfilling the command of Moses from Deuteronomy chapter 27. According to that passage, Mount Ebal was the place of blessing, while its opposite, Mount Gerizim, was the place of the curse. From this narrative, Dr. Cairns declared that the cross of Christ, planted in the soil of the curse, replace the curse of sin with blessing for those who trust in Christ for salvation. As he continues to further consider the altar at Mount Ebal, Dr. Cairns is seeking to show how the cross of Christ meets every standard of the law of God, thereby procuring the justification of his people. The law God gave in the Old Testament has not changed in any respect. The sentence remains, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." By the shedding of his blood on the cross, Christ declared the law to be the inflexible standard of God's righteousness. But the Lord Jesus' sacrifice satisfied God's law and justifies believers. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message called The Altar at Ebal, The Cross, The Law, and Our Justification.
The cross not only magnifies the righteousness of the law, the cross of Christ satisfies the righteousness of the law. At Mount Ebal, the pillars of the law and the altar stood side by side. The cross bore witness, but so did the law. What an insight this gives into Calvary. Not only does the cross magnify the law, but the law magnifies the cross. Not only does the cross bear witness to the righteousness of the law, but the law bears witness to the righteousness of the cross. You see, Christ was made under the law. Christ lived under the law to fulfill all righteousness. Christ died under the stroke of the law. And Christ satisfied every facet and every demand of the law. Thus, that law stands, as it were, side by side with the altar. And it bears witness to the total sufficiency of the cross work of Jesus Christ. Those pillars of the law beside the altar of Christ proclaim there is no more penalty than this to be paid. There is no more merit than this to be earned. There is no more wrath than this to be borne. This is what Paul had in mind when he wrote in Colossians chapter 2 and 14 that Christ blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Christ took every demand of the law and met it. In Paul's graphic term, he nailed it to the cross. Christ took every accusation of the law and nailed it to the cross. Christ took every thunder from Mount Sinai and he nailed it to the cross. The handwriting of ordinances that was against us Jesus removed forever because He met the standard perfectly at Calvary. You see, the cross is God's way of legally saving sinners from the condemnation of the law. That's why we sang that lovely hymn this morning. It was making the statement exactly. The cross is God's way of legally saving sinners from the condemnation of the law. Romans 3 takes this up. Chapter 3, verse 23 says, all have sinned and come short, or literally are constantly coming short of the glory of God. It's a pity a lot of people never learn anything beyond Romans chapter 3, verse 23. But verse 24, 25, and 26 actually complete the great sense. We are sinners, but what has God done about our sin? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now watch this carefully. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. What is a propitiation? It is a satisfaction or an appeasement of the wrath and law of God. The appeasement of God's wrath by the satisfaction of God's law, that is propitiation. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, that God might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. In other words, the cross, by satisfying God's law, by meeting every demand of God's law, by fulfilling every precept and paying every part of the price, provides a legal way to save the ungodly, the lawbreakers, from the penalty of the law. Let me tell you, that cross is the only way of salvation. God never saves sinners by slighting the law. He only saves sinners by satisfying the law. That's the primary meaning of the cross. That is the true message of the cross. The cross of Christ magnifies the righteousness of the law. The cross of Christ satisfies the righteousness of the law. And finally, therefore, the cross of Christ justifies believers according to the righteousness of the law. The text that we took this morning presents to us a picture that we do well to ponder. There are the pillars of the law. There is the altar of sacrifice. And there are the gathered people. As our Bible reading says, they were gathered for blessing. Get that picture. A people drawing near to God while the law of God looked on approvingly. A people drawing near to God with the law of God represented there and yet interposing no obstacle to the acceptance of the worshippers. What a picture that is. The New Testament has a term for this. The New Testament calls acceptance with God with the approval of the law justification. That's what the New Testament calls it. Acceptance with God, with the approval of the law, is justification. And the message is as sublime as it's simple. If the cross of Christ satisfies the law, then it justifies all those for whom Christ died. Now think that through. Don't simply say, well, I believe that. Yes, it's true. Think on it, man. Think on it. Let it get down into your mind, into your heart. Let this become so much the very fabric of your being that it governs your thinking and your attitudes and your actions. If the cross of Christ satisfies God's law. Well, let's stop there. Does it satisfy God's law? Is God satisfied with Christ? When the Lord Jesus on Calvary cried, "It is finished," did he really mean there was something more to be done? There was something more to be said? God was still expecting a little more? No, sir. He did satisfy the law. But if he satisfied the law, then all for whom his death prevails, he justifies. You see, as Paul said, Romans 5 and 9, we are now justified by his blood. Justified by his blood. What's that saying? It's saying that the law of God, which in a very real way was present at Calvary, the law of God is as present on Mount Calvary as it was on Mount Sinai. Its thunders were as loud on Calvary as they were on Sinai. Its fire was as great at Calvary as it was at Sinai. There you've the law of God, right at the cross of Jesus Christ. But the law accepts the obedience of Christ. The law accepts the oblation and sacrifice of Christ on behalf of every person for whom Christ stood as substitute. That's the message. The law asks no further action. The law seeks from them no further payment. The law imposes on those people no further punishment. Why? Because in their victim, in their substitutionary sacrifice, they have satisfied the law. They have paid its penalty. They have met its precept. They're justified. And the beautiful thing that comes to mind as we link all this with the picture in Joshua chapter 8, with the law standing by as the witness to all this, the cross of Christ has converted the law of God from being our prosecutor and our judge to being the chief witness for our defense. The law thunders judgment against the Christless unbeliever, but the law proclaims salvation. Legal salvation. Lawful deliverance. The law proclaims it for all who are covered by the blood of Christ's atonement. Paul said in Romans 10 verse 4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to believers. I think we can most simply and clearly understand that. The word end has many different strands of thought in it. But it simply means Christ is the fulfillment of the law unto righteousness. He is the fulfillment of the law producing righteousness for His believing people. He is the fulfillment of the law, thereby conferring upon His people a righteousness that constitutes them legally perfect in the sight of God and legally delivered from every condemnation of the law of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.